We all know, and I can sit here, we can talk about it all day long, and talk's just not going to fix it. But what I can say is that we are not in a war right now with politics. And you've got to understand that. You're not in a war with politics. You're not in war with a politician. And right now, you're not in a war with the enemy, with Satan. You're really not in a war with Satan. That war, we've already been waging that, and we've got to step back. Sometimes you have to go back to the war room and see where the enemy's at, see where you're at, and devise a plan. War rooms are for planning. Planning to win a war, not to lose a war. Amen? And so in that thought, right now your solution is not Donald Trump. I mean, if that's where you're believing, then you're in trouble. You're in real trouble. If you think your deliverance is in Jesus Christ, as we have functioned, you're wrong again. Oh, my God, Pastor, you stood in front of a pulpit in a church and said, Jesus Christ is not our... Let me finish. Don't take the sound bite and run with it, okay? Until we release his influence in the earth, Jesus' hands are tied. You have now enlisted in the army of the Lord. You are now an ambassador of Christ and his kingdom. Right now, the war you're seeing on television is a war between a culture and politics. And they're winning. Exponentially, every day, they're winning. And that culture will determine who's in office. Even if they have to cheat, culture will decide who's in office. Even if they get it by good merit, culture will decide who's in office. And we have to look at who is influencing culture. See, it's yes, we know the enemy, Satan, is influencing culture. Coming in with all kinds of stuff to influence culture, okay? And it's not until we begin to influence culture. Do you know that even though we had a lot of founding fathers who believed in the Bible and read the Bible very, very much, some of them read it so much, you've got many of those founding fathers read the Bible in their lifetime from cover to cover 50, 60, 70, 80 times in their lifetime. Why do you think the Constitution sounds like it does? Why do you think that our amendments and sound like they do? Because they came from a culture, and not all those leaders read the Bible over and over again were Judeo-Christians. They just believed in the precepts and the concepts of that gospel. So they read it. Do you see that even though they were not professing Christians, some of them were professing deist. Some of them were professing other things. But they held that Bible because the culture of the day was influenced by the church with the Word of God. Okay? Now, they became the great leaders they became because they were influenced by a culture who believed in that book, stood on that book, and lived by that book. Okay? I can tell you that book will change you. It will change where you go. It will change who you hang out with. It will change you. Because you're to be an influence. And there are some people you have no opportunity to influence. You can't save everyone. And the most of the people you can't save are the ones who've known you all your life. Or have known you best. Hello? Those who have known you best always want to go back to glory days. Hello? And they want to keep you back in glory days. When you have come encounter with the glory, and now you have something glorious to pour out, and there are people waiting to hear and be influenced by you and listen to what you have to say, but you are so stuck in, we are so stuck in, we get stuck in. I had a lot of difficulties growing up that made me a wallflower, that made me feel like that I was a second-class citizen, made me feel like that I was stupid, made me feel like that I was dumb, made me feel like that I couldn't learn like most everybody in class learned because I wasn't passing much. I was a disappointment to my father and mother because my grades were horrible. I was a disappointment to my teachers because my grades were horrible. It didn't matter what you bribed me with, I could not give you a good grade because I could not read that material and understand what I was reading. I couldn't understand it. I had to read it up to 10 times more than somebody else to get to understand it. And I found out after I broke through and got comprehension on it, found out how to comprehend it, I found out I wasn't stupid. I found out I wasn't dumb. But when you live your whole life feeling that way and not being able to produce, I had a guy about age, I was that time probably about age 26. I comprehended business pretty well, and I was running a route for a company, and he was an old schoolmate, went to school all of our life. And I ran into him, he needed a job, I needed a partner out there on that, and I knew he had the personality for it. Because the way I grew up, I didn't have much of a personality. And sometimes I still don't, but, you know, we're all still working on that. But it's not that I don't care, it's not that I don't have a passion, just sometimes that surfaces a little bit. Don't we all have something surface? All right? Okay. Don't be offended at me. Just ask the question again or say it again to me, okay? Because maybe I'm not comprehending, all right? I still have those issues. If you give me a book, I have to read it over and over and over and over and over again before I get what you're trying to. That's why I've learned that I only read what God leads me to because I don't have time for the rest of it. And I really get ticked off when people push it on me. I do. So, with all that, this is not about me, but what I'm trying to explain to you is that in that time period that I was away from school, all right, this guy came back around into my life, got in the truck, and I guess he felt like he was there to really help me because he knew me from grade school. I was the kid that couldn't pass. I was the kid that they shipped over across the street to go into special ed, me, special ed, to sit there. And then when the bell rang, I was the last one to come out of that room because you couldn't turn those kids loose because they'd run out in front of cars. So all of us had to stay over in that house. So my bus is sitting there waiting on me, and I have to get out of that house and the whole busload gets to watch me. That's why I started walking home from school really early. Well, I ain't getting in that bus again. Because they all knew I come out of that house. So now here I am 26 years old, and one of my classmates get in the truck with me, and after about a week of training him, we were driving down the highway, and he's just looking at me. And I'm getting freaked out, you know. It's a little weird. You're just staring at me. Finally, I turned around, and I said, "Hey, what are you looking at? Look at the road. Don't look at me." He goes, "I'm just amazed." I said, "What?" He goes, "You're so smart." I said, "Excuse me? A monkey can do this if they teach him how to drive the truck. Anybody can do this." "No, Dean, I'm really impressed. I don't know what happened to you." "Nothing happened to me. I'm still the same person with the same brain and the same way it works. But see where that past categorized me? I could never rise above staying there. You're going to have to shift. This culture needs an influence, and you can't influence it living in glory days or whatever days you had." I didn't have glory days. I had days like that that I had to overcome. All right? But it doesn't matter if you were the great hitter or the great pass or the great pass protector or the great receiver or whatever you were, the great tumbler or the great cheerleader or great typist, whatever you were in school, whatever you were back there in your history, they're going to keep you in those circles, keeping you in your past, where you're never becoming an influence to the future. And honey, the future's running right past you. It's taken over you, and you're not going to like the way it ends up. You have the power of God's word working inside of you, and they're not looking for correction. Browbeating. They're looking for deliverance. That's what they're looking for. And until you believe that, until you grab a hold of that, until you understand that, that's what they're looking for. We don't need more bubble wrap for them. Good Lord, we're bubble wrapping them, and then we're giving them another wrap a bubble. And then when they boo-boo, we give them another wrap a bubble. We don't need more bubble wrap on these children. Amen. What we need is truth. When truth prevails, the blankets will come off. And we have truth. We have something that we can go and we can be an influence with. So I just want to show you some things that we've got to get grounded in to be able to do that, all right? All right, here we go. It's going to be pretty fast, so are you ready? All right, we're going to start out in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Somebody forgot to turn their phone off. "And whatsoever you do, do it in it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men." We cannot get our influence functioning if we're not doing it in love, in a passion. He said, whatever you do heartily. What he's talking about is out of a passion, out of a desire to touch broken people. Not to fix them, not to try to adjust them. The church has spent so many years. Where we've lost this thing is we've spent time trying to fix people. And you can't fix anybody. How many of you have seen a man or a woman get a hold of somebody and they just drag them through hell trying to fix them? Because you can't fix them. There's only one thing that can fix them, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind by the word of Jesus Christ." And nothing else will work. Complaining won't work. Coffee shop talk won't work. I'm not saying there's not a time and place for it, but all the time? 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 You won't change government until you change the culture. And you're looking at a culture that's broken. They're hurting. Somebody has broken them. Somebody has told them a lie. Somebody has set them up for a crushing. And until we do it with a passion and not anger, when we do it with anger, we're doing it unto men. When we do it out of frustration, we're doing it unto men. When we do it out of love and a passion to see what God did for me, do for you, now we're doing it out of a passion and out of love. I'm just saying we're going to have to ask ourselves some tough questions. What is my motivation? What is my motivation? Is my motivation, I told a gentleman this morning, and I'll tell any of you that there's any call on your life, I promise you this. Whatever you've seen in the beginning when God gave you that, deposited that in, whether it be playing a piano, playing a guitar, whether it be a ministry of some type, whether it be helping out, whatever God's got in you to do, okay, it will not look like you thought it would when he's done with it. He said, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. What's he going to do? Make you. What does it take to make you? To change you. We don't want to change. We want them to come to the Lord the way we did. We want them to come to the Lord, that we want them to come to the acknowledge of Jesus Christ, or else, or there's going to be a burning, or there's going to be a Jesus is coming. There's going to be punishment. There's going to be judgment. Don't you understand? That's what we want. But that's not how God works. All that is inevitable, okay? If we're going to change this thing, we're going to have to touch the culture. We're going to have to touch the culture. And you're not going to be able to be where you've been to do that. None of us are. God's making adjustments here. And we're going to have to adjust with that. I know, what a wonderful thing. I'm not giving you dues. I'm telling you, you've got to get a hold of that passion that's on the inside of the love of God. You cannot love until you've received love. Amen? You cannot love until you've received love. We're trying to love God, and that's frustrating enough because there's nothing but failure involved in it. There's nothing but pretend. I've seen Christians pretend so long they don't even know they're pretending anymore. They're the only ones that don't realize they're porcelain. Hello? Have you seen them porcelain Christians? And they don't even know they're porcelain. They can't be real because they're afraid if they're real, then somehow they're gonna do something wrong before the Lord of some kind, or they're gonna disappoint God somehow. That's that religion that we get involved in. I'm thanking God we're not involved in that here at this church. But I'm telling you, if we're going to change, we're going to have to meditate on this and see what God has for us. Go to Malachi chapter 3. These are the things we've got to get in us. This right here is what we've got to get in us so that we know that God, we can trust him. We cannot change culture until we really believe what we believe. And there can be no contradiction. I think that's what Jason and I have had the biggest focus on, is preaching a gospel to you to get you to believe something that has no contradiction. Because God does not contradict himself. And religion gets us involved in contradiction. And the biggest problem with religion is not understanding love. That's the biggest thing. You cannot understand God until you understand love. And you can't get love, you have to receive it. Do you hear me? You got to receive it. I'll tell you when you are starting to bump into this. I'll give you a tattletale sign. Those things that you used to look at and judge, you begin to feel a compassion for them. Not passion, but a compassion. In other words, it touches your heart. What used to frustrate you touches your heart. Where you used to say, why don't they get their life straightened out? Why don't they get a job? Why don't they quit begging? Why don't they quit? Why don't they? Why don't they? Why don't they? All of a sudden you're going, I wonder what's broken. I wonder how they got broken. You begin to pray prayers of Father, take them back to the place they were broken. Let them find themselves where they were broken and who broke them. And may they turn their eyes to you when they get there. And may you heal them. That's a different prayer. Isn't that a different prayer? Wait a second. That's a prayer of love and compassion for someone. Amen? That changes how you look at them. But see, you didn't change. The power of love inside you changed you. And then you changed. This is not a message to go home and go, okay, I got to change. I got to do this and I got to do that. I got to receive his love. Father, if I need anything in this life, I need your love. Amen. See, this is where we get to the place where we have our confession. He is my Savior and my Lord. He is my Lord and my Savior. For most of the church, he's just Savior. He's never become Lord. And he can never become Lord until, see, a dictator, you'll do what a dictator tells you to do because of fear. So that's not Lord, that's a dictator. When he becomes Lord, you're doing what he's asking out of the passion that you have for what he's done for you. You're sold out to him. Therefore, he said, you'll know that you love whenever you love your brother. So we go out trying to love our brother. I tried that with my two brothers. That didn't work out too well. Because you know what our love wants to do? Our love wants to fix them. Our love wants to give them some advice. Our love wants to try to help them and tell them how to do something. Our love wants to try to get them off the track they're on the track you're on. Amen, because I'm all fixed now. I got it all together. Get on my track. You need to know what I know and believe what I believe and all those things, right? Wrong. Because I haven't arrived. I don't even know where my track's going. And I'm trying to get them on my track. So now we're both of us are lost. Or both of us are unsure where we're going. No. I need to just get them in touch with Jesus Christ. Period. And a lot of times, I don't even need to use his name. Hello. I don't need to use my church jargon and my church language. They don't understand it. They don't get it. We got to get the these and the thous out. It's got to come out of us like a passion. Out of passion. A love to touch humanity. But we can't do that if we don't know and can trust who he is in our life. You can't love someone you don't know. You can't love someone you can't trust. See, now when I love humanity, I'm loving them through Jesus Christ, and him I know. Him I can trust because we've made these things undeniable, unfallible. These things I'm going to tell you right now, they're unfallible to Pat and I. They do not change. Okay? So here it is. Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. About almost 28 years ago, God gave me the revelation on that. I was in the mirror shaving, brushing my teeth, getting ready for the day, and God said, look at you, you're still here. I said, well, thank you. You know, I would just thank you that I'm still here. I hope I'm still here tomorrow afternoon. You know, I didn't know about long life. I was just one of those Christians that you never know. Today could be your last day. You know, you don't know how long you got. There's Christians who believe that mess. I don't know how long I have. I might be gone tomorrow. Boy, you just keep confessing that. You're going to have just what you believe because somebody influenced you. Let me ask you something. Who's influencing us? Where's our influence coming from? And then we want to turn around and influence a culture? It's confusing to them when we call ourselves Christian, and there's so many influences to Christianity except the Bible. And all the Bible thumpers who keep saying, well, the Bible, but they don't understand what they're talking about. They can't put it all together. I had one pastor call me one day and said, Dean, I just don't know how you put all that together. Now, this guy had been preaching as long as me. I don't know how you put the puzzle pieces together. How do you get that and this and this and that together? I mean, it makes sense once you put it together. I see it. But how in the world do you? We're not getting our fundamental foundation solid. God is God, and He will never change. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Do you know why we're not going off like gaslit bombs? Just you know why judgment has not come on this nation? Do you know why? Because the Lord God changes not. And then we get up in a pulpit, we read a little bit of the Bible that we don't understand, and we start telling people judgment is coming. Judgment is here. And we don't even know what we're talking about. When God said, you're not consumed because I don't change. Well, if He doesn't change and that's why we're not consumed and judgment has not come on us, then we need to find out what He's talking about, what He doesn't change. Who is this God who doesn't change and what does He say about it? Instead of starting to stand up as a Christian saying something in behalf of God, for God, to declare God, and none of it's God. None of it's God. Do you know what's happening in Sherry Emerald's life right now? God. You know where it started? She said, I've never been to church. I've never been any place that got me to the place where she just said this to me just before she was getting prepped and whatever. She says, Dean, I know where I'm going if something happens to me. That's a foundational statement that you can stand on. Now you're starting to stand on the rock instead of standing on shifting sand. I know, and it's because of who He is and not because of who I am. I thought, now we're hitting pay dirt. We can start building on that. We can start building on that. I said, now you know who you are in Christ. Now what does Christ say about you? See, we can get so much church and get so much influence of church that we end up believing church and its influence and its doctrinal viewpoints over the Bible. And we got to figure this out. And you won't figure it out till you read the Bible. And just reading it won't work. Here's a key. Holy Spirit, the divine author of all things in this book, I ask you to reveal to me your word as I read it. And then you go in there and read it and you don't understand any of it and you read it again. And you don't understand any of it and you read it again. And you don't understand any of it and you read it again. and you don't understand. Because what are you doing? As long as you keep reading, you're operating in faith that you can trust the Holy Spirit. He will reveal it to me. When you quit reading because you don't understand it, you don't trust him to begin with. You're not operating in faith. You operate in faith, and as you operate in faith and keep reading, guess what he's going to do? One day, all of a sudden, you're going to go, oh my word, that's what it said. I get it. The pastor will say something, and nobody else will get what he said, but one little sentence, one little line, and all of a sudden, the lights are coming on all over that Bible. What's happening? I'm receiving what I asked for. Holy Spirit, this is your word. I need to know my Father. God sent you to be a helper to me, and you're the one that divinely wrote this whole thing, the inspiration of it all. Would you please inspire me and show me? And he will begin to show you things, and you'll begin to look at stuff that people have preached, and you're going to go, that wasn't quite right. Well, now that wasn't quite right. Now, wait a second, that wasn't quite right. God doesn't change. If God changes, the first thing that's going to happen is who's the sons of Jacob today? Hello? Amen. Through the birth of Jesus Christ, right? Amen. What's going to happen to you the moment God decides to lie? The day that God decides to change, we're gone. He said, that's why you're not consumed. In other words, God's kind of letting us know, boy, if I ever change, I'll wipe you all out. I'll start out all over again. If I ever change, you better thank me every day. I don't change. Now, if he doesn't change, that means we've got something that we have solid to give. Now, watch this. Go with me real quick to Numbers 23:19. Numbers 23:19. Numbers 23:19. Watch what he says. Remember, Jason said something. I remember when I first met Jason, he said something to me, and it was so true, and it's true today. The first thing you're going to do is get mad. The first thing to the revelation of God's grace and his love, he was teaching strong grace, and I went over there and taught on love, because you can't have grace without love. Love extends grace. So it all comes down to the bottom line of love. Amen? And then he got a hold of that. I got a hold of his, and he got a hold of mine. Next thing we knew, we're getting something done, getting something taught. All right? But he said, the first thing you're going to do is get mad. What are you mad about? Because this is the truth, and I've been standing on something that was part truth. Now, it got me here. Now, don't get me wrong. I love that I grew up where I grew up and in the church I grew up in, because it got me here. Amen? It got me to a place of closeness with God, so close that I had enough guts to question. And when I started questioning, he started answering. You see? So now watch this. He says, verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? The first thing you got to get in your mind is God said it, and it doesn't matter. The only person who's fallible in this is me. I've said it for the 25 years I've been in a pulpit. Here's what I've told the people that I preach to. If you see Dean Hammonds not get his full life, if you see something get a hold of me and take me over, don't you quit believing God. Because something in Dean Hammonds changed, not God. Don't you grab a hold of my experience and make it your declaration and religion. Don't make it your belief system, because I didn't get it. Amen? God still said it. It is still so. He does not lie. Go dig, get it. Get after it. Amen? Find it, possess it, and live by it. Because, see, I'm not the guy you're supposed to live by anyway. I can just share with you what God's done for me and what God's shown me. Amen? And for every time I've seen a Christian failure, God has shown me more Christian positive experiences, victories. Amen? I needed one when Sherry Emerald came along, and boy, we got one. Amen? Amen. She was supposed to still be up there. 1 week. She's home. 1 week. 1 week, she's back in Southern Illinois. 1 week, she's back home. I talked to a nurse about that situation without touching any laws, HIPAA laws. I just asked in general, when someone has this diagnosis, what happens? And I said, okay, this is what happens. That is sheer nothing but a miracle. Now, are we going to just stop at that miracle? No, no, we're going to get it all. Amen? We're going to get it all. We don't stop right there and say, okay, everything's all right. You can be influenced by that doctor, or you can be influenced by this. That doctor did not die for your sins. He did. That doctor did not go away to prepare a place for you so that where he is, you may be also. He did. That doctor did not send you a comforter when he got back to the throne room. He did. He did not empower you with that comforter. He did. He didn't write you a book to live by. He did. He didn't create you with a plan. He did. That doctor didn't do any of that. So why are you believing him over this? Why are you believing that news reporter over this? God said, I will have a glorious church. And then he went on to say that he would prepare that glorious church. A glorious church. And then he said, on his side will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, is that the winner or the loser? Is that the winner or the loser? And the winner, everything I've ever seen in a winner, he's over 50% of the points, right? Hello? You better look for more than people. There's a harvest coming. There's a great harvest. He's going to create a glorious church in us. And when that glory rises up, the harvest is coming, and then he's coming. And not a minute sooner. Not because there's something going over in Afghanistan. Jesus is coming. Russia, Jesus is coming. China, Jesus is coming. Everything that happens to us in this American church is everything that doesn't go our way, Jesus is coming. Judgment is coming, and Jesus is coming. We're gonna get it caught up, and bless God, you're going to get yours. Come on. That's the attitude. Is that love? Is that in direct response to God, or is that direct response to man? Direct response to man. Now, don't understand, as I close this, I struggle with this every day. You have no idea how many posts you never read from Dean Hammonds that I wrote. I write them, then I read them again, and then I erase them. And some of them it takes a long time to erase. It took a long time to write them. I wanted to give somebody a piece of my mind. I heard something on the news or something, and then I get done reading it, and I go, well, that is of no good to the kingdom of God, and I erase it right back. So I just want you to understand, I struggle. So the struggle is real. Not because I do, because I notice all of us do. Amen? But when are we going to turn this thing around and become an influence to the kingdom of God, to one who died for them? Amen? I'm an ambassador of the one who laid his life down for you. And I'm telling you today, he will never change. And he chose you, and he will never change on that topic. I don't care where you go. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you're thinking about doing. He made a decision for you, and he will never change his decision for you. He can't. And he said in his word, he that began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. And he is not a man that he should lie, and he cannot lie. So therefore, he will complete it in you. You be encouraged today. God is working in your life, and he's not finished, but he will finish it. He will be faithful to you, and he cannot lie. Amen. Amen. Isn't that good stuff? And it doesn't matter about you. He'll change you when love comes. Oh, God, let me be a bucket carrier of love. Let me carry the water and not the gasoline. Let me carry the solution and not the problem. Amen? Amen. You all right? Is that okay? All right. God bless you. Father, we thank you for your word today. We give you all the praise and the glory for it. Father, let it go seed into this fertile soil that's here today. Let them know that you are God, and because you're God, you are love. And love never changes, and love never lies, and love never backs down. Love will do what love has promised. And Father, we receive that in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.